The Westminster Abbey is noted because within its wall there contained the remains of many English nobles and important people. The Mohammed's tomb is visited because of the stone and coffin, and the bones are there. But the garden tomb is famous because it's empty. And I am passionate about this because this is the most important theme in Christianity. The tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ is empty. And in Matthew 28, verses 1 to 20, we read the narrative about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew, these are not our verses, but let me read it. Thank you. Say, after the Sabbath at dawn, in the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. My Savior lives. You, Savior, live. Amen? Our Savior, we don't have to go to a tomb. Sometimes maybe you don't have the money to go to Jerusalem. It doesn't matter because he's alive. He's risen. I don't have to go and do a procession to be there because he's risen. I spoke to him this morning. Have you this morning? As a Christian, we can talk to him. When we open the Bible, it's a living word. This is not a dead book. And that is the resurrection. But somebody could say, oh, well, what is the point of believing or knowing the resurrection? What is the point if I accept or not the gospel? It is important. If Jesus arose from the dead, is that important? Well, this morning, I would like to make emphasis on the verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. And I'm going to say, he is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. That is what Paul is saying in these verses. And I invite you to read, and let us read together these verses. I love when we, as the body of Christ, we read together the verse. Because the word of God is alive. It's a living word. So let's read together. These are the verses we are going to be reflecting upon the story of the Easter. The first Easter. Let's read together. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I receive, I pass on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Let us pray just for a moment. Maybe we have a few distractions this morning. And I invite one person to pray. If you feel that you need to pray, so what I'm about to say, it will be his will, not my will. Let us pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul sent this letter to the church in Corinth. It was the picture I have. It's a big church. It's a busy city like maybe London, New York. But here there are many problems. He sent this letter because the church was facing immorality, false teaching. There was disorder when they got together. That is the letter. But there was a big issue, the resurrection. There are many issues, but the biggest issue was the resurrection. There is no resurrection, said many people in this church. But they were coming to church. They wanted to be called Christians, and they did not believe in the resurrection. In the first 16 chapters, we find many issues in this church because they were not living as Jesus has commanded them to live. That is the context of this church. Now, three kinds of people deny the resurrection. They have three kinds of groups. I will not go into that, but just to give us a flavor of what was going on around the thing of the resurrection. If some scholars call it the heathen, they did not believe in the resurrection, but they did have a motto. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They were coming to church, and they did have a motto. You know what was their motto? Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we will die. That was their motto. But they wanted to be called Christians. Some of my friends used to say, but they wanted to live la vida loca. You know, that's a song that they wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. There was another group that said, God is everything. And some people call this group pantheist. They believe that God was everything and everything was God. God is everything. And they wanted to be called Christians. They believe that God and the material world are one and the same thing, that God is present in everything. But the problem with this is that they started to worship other things because they thought God was everything. And then, you know, they believe that God was there, they was there, and then they will see an animal, they say, oh, that's God. Maybe that's God. And they will not touch that animal. And then Paul, he write about this in Romans chapter 1:25. He says about the danger. He says, they exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. And then maybe we have that thinking in some places of the world. That cow walks with so pride. It's a sacred cow. The Incas, the Mayas, the Aztecas, they have the sun, the moon, rivers. It's dangerous. Maybe we don't have sacred cows walking along Bangor. We do have. When you love your car more than your wife. And when the wife loves more the kitchen more than their husbands. We do have. When we love our jobs, when we love our children more than our partners. That is the belief. And then they have another group that we know, they call it the Platonists. They believe in the immortality of the soul, but they do not believe in the resurrection of the body, the flesh. But the thing is, the fact is that Peter, when he went to the tomb, his body and soul, they were not there. Body and soul. Jesus rose from the dead. This is the truth that Paul is sharing with the church. And we meet every Sunday. When we meet every Sunday, we proclaim that he is risen. He is risen indeed. Every time I say he is risen, he is risen indeed. Most people are busy and they don't have time to go to church on Sunday. They don't have time to pray. I need to play golf. I need to play football. I need to, you know, I have my season ticket. I cannot miss a game, but I can miss a church service. We proclaim he is risen. And today I just want to talk about three elements of the resurrection of the gospel. The death of Jesus Christ. The three elements here that Paul mentioned is the death, first of all, the death of Jesus Christ. Some believe Jesus didn't die. Some believe that he was alive when he was put into the tomb. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, Paul says, for what I receive, I pass on to you of what? Of first importance.
that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Can you imagine? He was beaten. He was insulted. He hasn't eaten. He was hanging on that cross for hours, 6 hours. He was in the tomb for 3 days. People said, no, he was not dead. What about the Roman centurion? The centurion was a professional soldier who had to certify that the person who was hanging on that cross was dead. So that was his profession. So he will not dare to sign a certificate that was not true. And we have that clear instruction in the Bible, the centurion. And he said, this was the Son of God. Paul is saying, the first thing we need to understand that he died. The centurion certified that death. The Roman Empire, it was not considered very intelligent like the Greeks, but they was considered that they crushed everything. So if that centurion did it wrong, he would have been in trouble. Christ on the cross, he has gone before us. Jesus tasted death for every man. He died. On that cross. The second thing is that the burial of Jesus Christ. The verse 4 says that he was buried. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 9. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich. And in his death, though he had gone down no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. He lived with the poor people. He was born poor, but in his death, Isaiah says he's going to be with the rich. The prophecy came to pass. When he died, we all know, and we have the account in the book of John. They say later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leader, with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, two important people. If you study history, you will find that these people really existed there and all that. They went, and the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night, that was Nicodemus, brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. They were rich. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped with the spices in a strip of linen. This was in accordance to the Jewish burial customs. At that place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid, because it was the Jewish day of preparation. And since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Paul is saying he was buried. And these two words, the Greek word here, death and burial, are in past tense. Buried and die is in the sentence past. But there is another fact, and that is the fact. We need to go from Friday to Sunday, from the past to the present into the future. And this next fact is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose again is in the perfect tense, which is describes something that happened in the past, but it continues in the present. It's not past. Jesus never said, I will be the resurrection. Some people made the mistake of thinking that is the resurrection is only about the future. Oh, in the future we have resurrection. But Jesus did not say, I will be the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. As Christians, we need to grasp the wonderful fact that we can now have glimpses of heaven. We are people of the resurrection. And Paul says, his argument is this. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people must to be pitied, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. When you are in tune with God, when I am in tune with God, that is heaven. When we are out of tune of God, when you are out of tune of God, that is hell. Heaven and hell are no special destinations, but they are beings. Christianity is not a religion. It's a way of living. And we are supposed to be people of the resurrection now. The resurrection is now the present and is the future. That is what Paul is saying. Resurrection has a continual impact in our lives. He is still alive today. Jesus is living right now. That's the kind of life that you could receive if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is what, when we are in tune with God, we are alive. Maybe situations are not the right things happening around us and at home, at work, but we are supposed to be people of resurrection. The verses we read at the beginning of the service tell us about what we are supposed to do when we confess that we are followers of the one who would die, was buried, and raised in the first Easter. Our Lord Jesus is dead. The disciples are leaving the Friday. They are walking downcast. They have deserted Jesus. They have lost hope. And our Lord Jesus is there. And he says in Luke chapter 24, says, that is written that the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations. That is what we preach in this church. Repentance and forgiveness. And the Romans chapter 10 says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Remember, he is risen. That is what we declare, that Jesus is Lord in my life, in your life, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus, walking with his disciples, says, this is what you are supposed to do, to preach repentance and forgiveness. And we are called to confess with our mouth that he is Lord. The problem is that sometimes we don't get it. There was a chaplain in the U.S. Navy, and his name was Robert McAfee Brown. And he has a Bible study, there are chaplains, and he was visiting a Marine base. And in that, a group of Marines, young Marines, says, could you please set up a Bible study? And he said, oh, that was quite unusual. And he set up a Bible study in the book of John. And he went to the Bible study, and they touched the theme, the resurrection. One of the young sailors came the next day to his office, and he said, the resurrection is all about me. What do you mean, says? Well, I joined the Navy just after college. And I felt empty and bored. I was into drugs. I did things that my mom and my dad will be ashamed about it. I was just bored. I felt anxiety because I felt guilty. I want to commit suicide sometimes. But when you start teaching us about the resurrection, and when you say that the resurrection is in the present and in the future, I decided to surrender my life completely to Jesus. And I am living the resurrection every day. Pastor Brown McAfee says, I know that this young man will be facing many difficulties in his life. But now it's different, because he understood the message Jesus sent us to preach. What is it? Repentance. And forgiveness. He lived the resurrection. I am supposed to live the resurrection. Some people come and says, well, you know, I cannot stop doing this. I have many problems. I cannot do it. I cannot stop having this addiction. I cannot stop being bitter. I cannot forgive my father. I cannot forgive my mom. Carolo Carreto said, Jesus' resurrection makes it impossible. The resurrection of Jesus makes it impossible for man's story to end in chaos. It has to move inexorably towards light, towards life, towards love. When we really, when we are really Christians, when we really grasp the message, we will be living in life, in love, and in hope. Maybe many people have questions. So what is the future of the world? What happens if Donald Trump have a bad day and push the wrong button? What will happen if North Korea do something about it? It's reality. What will happen if injustice is there? Do you feel despair? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It looks like evil is winning. Do you feel despair? Do you feel despair when you see your children, they don't obey you, they don't want to come to church anymore, they just want to get on with their lives? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. If we are people of the resurrection, do you feel despair when things are not working for you? Let me conclude saying something. I love this illustration. I love this story because I think it did happen. It was the story of Tony Campolo. Tony Campolo is a guy, I understand, a very well-educated guy. And you know, when you have to unpack the Bible, I have here retired ministers, and then it gives me a trouble because sometimes the simple message is more powerful. And you spend hours on your desk trying to do the exegesis right, try to get your points right, try to get the illustrations right. In my situation, I have to get the pronunciation right. Everything right. And Tony Campolo was like that. He has, I think, a PhD. And you heard his story. He went to a black church with all his pride. He knows better than the ministers there, the other black ministers there. And he starts to preach. And this is what he says. He tells the story of a black Baptist preacher in the inner city of Philadelphia who preached a sermon Tony says he will never forget. Tony preached first. He preached first. He got everything right. The exegesis right. The points right. The illustrations right. And he said it was hot. So hot that he even stopped and listened to himself. He sat down and said to his pastor, you know, the senior pastor, the black pastor is there, say, can you top that one? So he sat there. Let me tell you something. Those churches, the services go 3 hours, 4 hours. In Latin America, it's the same. Good Friday, the service is at least 3 hours. And so many preachers, and the pastor said, "Son, you ain't seen nothing yet." And for an hour and a half, the pastor repeated these words over and over and over again. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And Tony Campolo said, "I never heard anything like it," Tony said. He just kept saying it. The congregation was spellbound by the power of it. It's Friday. Mary, Jesus' mother, is crying her eyes out that her son up there on the cross is dying, the agonizing death of crucifixion as a criminal. But it's only Friday, he says. Sunday's coming. And the apostles were really bowed down and out and discouraged. Jesus, their leader, was being killed by evil men. But it's only Friday, the black preacher said. Sunday's coming. And he went on like that, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Each time said, it's Friday, the crowd responds, Sunday's coming. I don't expect to be here 1 hour and 15 minutes. But we are going to practice this. It's Friday. It's Friday. Maybe you feel so bad because at school you have been bullied. Maybe at school nobody understands you. You are left lonely. I know what it is to be lonely
When I was in the Navy, you were lonely. If you will not drink and do things all the other people wanted to do, but it's Friday. Maybe you feel so bad because your husband and your wife, she doesn't understand you. He doesn't understand you. And you keep on having faith. You need to keep on going because it's Friday. Maybe you feel bad in church because you prepare a prayer meeting and only 3 people come. 4 people come. 5 people come. You organize something and nobody come forward. But let me tell you something this Easter Sunday. It's Friday. You feel so bad because you said, what is going to happen in the United Kingdom? What happened with Brexit? There is so much racism. People don't understand. And there is so much prejudice. Let me tell you something. It's Friday. That is the message of the resurrection. I am supposed to be a person of the resurrection. You are supposed to be a person of the resurrection. We need to remember that is only Friday. My friends, as we go out this morning, I want you to take this message. If you are struggling with bereavement, or if you are facing death, or you own death, my friend, Richard, he was supposed to preach on my induction day. He's about to retire September with his lovely wife, Sue. Sue has been fighting against cancer the last 2 years, and she was about to be retired too. Yesterday, or the day before yesterday, Richard phoned me to say that Sue is in a hospice. She only has a few days to go. But he said, I was in church this morning because he knows that it's Friday. My friends, amen. Sunday's coming. Yes. If you feel bored with life and you have come to the right place today because it's Friday. It's not only about to know about Jesus. It's knowing Jesus. We hear the message of Easter. We may seem hopelessly dark from a human perspective, but it's a new beginning. We have a long way to go. Yes, they have a long way to go. Maybe we are going to continue to be struggling. But we need to remember that Sunday is coming. Let's bow our heads for a moment. This morning, there have been many distractions in this place. But never be distracted of this truth, my friends. That is only Friday, but Sunday is coming. Maybe we be like this young Marine who said the resurrection is about me. The resurrection is about us. We are to live the resurrection every day. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we go out this place later, as we spend our lives at work, with our family, with our friends, help us to remember when we struggle, when we see darkness around, that it's only Friday, but Sunday is coming. And we are called to be people of the resurrection. So, Father, in your mercy, we pray that you could help us to bring you glory and honor because we have recognized that everything perhaps looks bad is only Friday. But Sunday is coming. Amen. Let's read some words, hopefully the words. Before Magnus comes to lead us in the last song, let's do a response. You will read the words in yellow. Yes, we are supposed to have joy. O living God, help us to share with others the joy and hope of your resurrection.
Help us to shine your light into dark places where people are in fear of danger, here and abroad. Lord, fill us with you. Help us to set others with gentleness and humility, so we tell others about your love, grace, and mercy. Lord, fill us. Help us to live in the fullness of the light you came to give. Amen.